Hello, and welcome to Mr. Marr's History Podcast. Google Mr. Marr History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History. In today's podcast, we will consider the nature of the Nazi regime between 1933 and 39, examining the role of traditional power structures in Germany, and how they had an influence, or in many cases did not, in Nazi Germany. Before Hitler took power in Germany, there were numerous groups that had traditionally ran the country. However, upon Hitler's accession to power, most of these power structures continued to exist, but with a significantly reduced influence than what they had had before. One obvious group that had previously had influence was the Reichstag. The Reichstag, under the democracy of the Weimar system, should have been the place in which laws that govern Germany were decided. However, with the passing of the Enabling Act, giving Hitler legislative powers, the Reichstag became irrelevant, and it passed only 7 more laws. It did hold elections, however, this was only with one party eligible to stand, and on the rare occasions it met, his role was simply to listen and applaud Hitler's speeches. In theory, the German cabinet also had influence in Germany, both before and after the Nazis took power. The cabinet could technically pass the laws. For instance, the Enabling Act did not technically give Hitler the power, but instead it gave the cabinet the power. But the reality was it was Hitler that expressed all decisions. Individual ministers would try to influence Hitler, and they would not instead try to influence the rest of the cabinet to support them. Up until 1939, the cabinet met less and less times, and eventually it stopped doing so, having very little role in the running of Germany. Another group, which in fact enhanced its power, was the Reich Chancellery. This body became more and more powerful as the role and influence of the Chancellor, Hitler, also expanded. It dealt with all administration relating to the Führer, and its head, Hans Lammer, became close to Hitler, giving him a big influence on government policy. The civil service had also traditionally been a major power in Germany. They had always had a role in implementing government policy. And the reality was that as a result of this, many of them had become very influential personally. However, under the Nazis, all civil servants were expected to join the Nazi Party and even eventually to wear a Nazi uniform. Key members of the civil service, though, continued to have an influence either on ministers or often on Hitler himself. Local government prior to Nazis had had influence as well. State governments across Germany had had great powers to take actions. And the reality was that under Nazi Germany, they continued to have a great deal of freedom. However, this was not under elected governments, but instead under centrally appointed officials, such as the Reich Governor. The governor of each state would enact some centrally set policies. However, at times they had the autonomy to choose their own actions, and many of them chose to do this. Another key part of any society, and indeed pre-Nazi Germany, were the courts and the legal system. And the reality was that they were largely ignored. The SS and the Gestapo acted as they wish, often engaging in arbitrary arrest, and they were not stopped from doing so. The judges were expected to back Nazi attitudes, and if they failed to do so, they were replaced by pro-Nazi judges. Lawyers, on the other hand, were expected to join the Nazi German Lawyers Front. In the cases where a number of judges did take part in rebellions by refusing to give the judgments that the Nazis wanted, their judgments were simply overruled in favour of the so-called People's Courts. A final key part of German power had been the army. Clearly, prior to the Nazis taking power, they had had a major influence, going back not only to wartime, but also during the Weimar years, when the Weimar government needed the support of them in order to continue. Hitler wanted the support of the army to stop any potential challenge to his leadership. The oath of allegiance that each member of the army was expected to make to Hitler helped achieve this. The army leadership itself was left largely unchanged during the Nazi rule, and this kept their loyalty. Eventually, Hitler took control of all the armed forces as commander-in-chief and exerted his authority that way.